Good Monday morning, everyone, and welcome to HTX at 10. I'm Melissa Wilson, and hope you're having a beautiful day so far. It's starting to warm up a little bit out there, so enjoy the cooler weather while you can. We're going to talk about that all-important forecast in a little while, but I want to make sure we get you to some of our really important headlines. With spring break just around the corner, I can't help but think that there are going to be a lot of Houstonians who are very concerned about what is happening in Mexico right now, especially in the state of Jalisco. And that is where some of the most popular travel destinations for us are, like Puerto Vallarta, for instance, after the Mexican government has been working with the U.S. government and killed one of the leaders of the main cartel there. Now there is major drama going on, and you see here that they are lashing out. A lot of those gang members are setting buses like this on fire, vehicles on fire all over the place. It's just a really big mess. So right now there is a massive travel alert for Americans heading that way. This morning we have been able to talk to quite a few Houstonians over there just to get their take on it, and several of them told us that they truly didn't feel targeted themselves, that they just feel like it's just a lot of disruptions of what's going on in the country right now. Nevertheless, they are being told to shelter in place. They're staying in their hotels. They're doing what they can to get food, and you can see all of the military men and women out there trying to make sure that as best they can that people stay safe. Jade Fleury has been here at Houston's Bush Intercontinental Airport all morning long, just keeping a close eye on how this is affecting flights. Quite a few of them have been canceled with these travel alerts in place. Let's check in with her and see how things are going there now.
Following the recent unrest in Mexico, several flights between Houston, Guadalajara, and Puerto Vallarta have been canceled. We're talking arrivals and departures, but we've also seen some of those flights actually taking off and getting to their destinations. Now, this unrest began after the Mexican military raid in Jalisco killed El Mencho. That's the leader of the Jalisco New Generation Cartel. Since then, the violence has erupted with fires, vehicles being set ablaze, and a major roadblocks across the region. The U.S. Department of State has now issued a travel alert urging Americans there to follow local officials and stay in a safe, secure location as operations continue. Governor Greg Abbott also put out a statewide warning urging Texans in Mexico or those with loved ones there to heed federal guidance and shelter in place. An expert on U.S.-Mexico studies explains the violence in the region.
This has happened in Mexico before, and we haven't seen any of the violence spill over into the United States. That doesn't mean that the cartel doesn't have operatives in the U.S., but within Mexico, yes, I think there's going to be a lot of violence.
Now, airlines say that passengers affected by the cancellations can rebook their flights without having to pay a change fee, but they're also urging anybody who's headed to the region to check their flight status before heading to the airport. Reporting from Bush Airport, Jade Fleury, Fox 26 News.
All right, good luck navigating all of that. If Mexico was in your travel plans, we are going to keep you up to date with any changes going on with that just as soon as we find out. Well, February happens to be Heart Health Month. We need to take care of our tickers. I just talked to a doctor just a few minutes ago who was telling me that 70% of people don't realize that they have a major risk factor for heart disease. So we're going to be taking a closer look at what doctors are warning us all about.
It started going from not able to sleep to waking up in the middle of the night, gasping for breath, like I couldn't breathe.
Heart failure isn't something most young people are worried about, but health experts say it's a disease that can affect people at any age.
So I thought I was like drowning. So after a couple of days of that, I'm like, yeah, there's something serious going on.
32-year-old Alex Balms thought it was just anxiety that caused him to experience shortness of breath and an irregular heartbeat. But when his symptoms became too much to ignore, he sought medical attention and was ultimately diagnosed with heart failure.
I asked him to keep checking. I'm like, dude, to me, it was just no way.
Balms is one of the nearly 7 million adults 20 years old or older who have the condition, according to CDC data. His cardiologist says it's important to visit a doctor if you experience shortness of breath, weight gain with swelling, trouble breathing while lying down, or feel weak or tired.
So, I mean, just call your primary care, and if you don't have one, try to find one soon. If you have complaints and your physical exam is concerning, then they should be ordering testing to further assess.
A recent survey from Orlando Health found that half of Americans would not schedule a non-urgent appointment with their doctor.
People are afraid to go get checked and find out that you have a problem. So that may limit them. Sometimes it's even access to medical care.
The data also shows only about 1 in 10 Americans would schedule a cardiologist appointment ASAP if they were experiencing classic heart failure symptoms. Health experts say it's important not to delay your care.
The problem is that because they don't seek help, then by the time we get to meet them, it may be too late. And a lot of these things could be preventable.
There are multiple risk factors for heart failure in young adults, including regular use of alcohol, obesity, and diabetes. In New York, Gernal Scott, Fox News.
All right. Right now, we're going to be checking in with Fox Weather to see what is going on in the Northeast. What a mess with a whiteout. Let's listen into what they're talking about there.
Sector that's being affected by the snow, Boston down to New York, and we're showing you the automated totals of where the highest numbers are coming in from. Long Island, Rhode Island. Those are seemingly the spots that are taking the cake at the moment. 27.5 inches. We got East Islip, which is clocking in at 26.5 inches. Remarkable. And several reports, no surprise perhaps, through Long Island, where there have been accidents reported. Farther to the southwest, we're sitting at more than 2 feet of snow. These reports coming in, and that includes parts of Jersey. Newark going to exceed 2 feet of snow before this storm is all said and done. We've got Richmond, Rhode Island at 26 inches, closing in on 30 inches of snow because those snow bands are continuing, and that's just snow. You factor in the wind, we're seeing snow drifts, which have already, as Mike Seidel in Montauk, closer to East Hampton, where we have a confirmed blizzard, those snow drifts are a little closer to 4 feet, and that's just the beginning of these winds that are going to be whipping throughout the afternoon. Really an impressive system, and perhaps the most intense band that we're seeing right now, a little closer to Rhode Island, just to the south of Boston. And as this snow has been falling, we've been getting the photos, and we appreciate them, hundreds of them, from you at home. We've got several to show you. We'll cycle through them. This is David in Washington Heights, New York. As that snow was falling, visibility reduced just a bit. Another one was from Robert in Little Egg Harbor. That's in New Jersey, where the entire state is under a blizzard warning. First time in 30 years that we've seen that. One more from Charlie in Seaford, New Jersey. Charlie's fence, he told us, broke in the wind. And if you look closely, yeah, you can see a part of that fence which has been broken. No surprise, because the winds here have been howling. So thank you for sending in the pictures. If you want to see yours, share it with us, and perhaps we'll be able to show it to you. All day long, we will be doing this. Scan that QR code on your screen. You can visit us on foxweather.com/connect. We're going to be back more with live coverage of this late season blizzard. We'll be back.
All right, we'll be watching those conditions. My goodness, it is such a mess there. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
The Reverend Jesse Jackson.
We're tired of being taxed without representation, which is tyranny. We're here today because we're tired of politicians speaking with forked tongues.
I am somebody.
Somebody.
I may be a student.
But I am somebody.
Somebody.
I am proud.
I must be respected.
I must be protected.
I am somebody.
Can you feel the rodeo in the air? Well, you certainly can if you're in Montgomery or that area today. As one of the very first trail riders head out today, they've got a 70-mile trek toward Houston. Dozens of them out there from all over the state came in this morning. Ruben Dominguez has been in the middle of them. He started out earlier with the cute little hat he has on now. Switched to the cowboy hat for a little while, but I guess that doesn't fit in the truck.
I've got a big head, man, so it definitely doesn't fit in the truck. But yeah, we got out there this morning, guys, and when we jumped out of the truck, and now we were just a little bit north of Magnolia, it was 30, about 37 degrees, so the ears were definitely feeling it, so I kept this one on most of the time. But think about this for a minute. Sam Houston Trail Ride, second oldest trail ride. We've got some video to show you there when they finally got everybody up and ready to go and moving out, like you said, 70 miles before they get to before they make it in this weekend, this Friday. Over there to Memorial Park, but 72 years, the second oldest, longest running trail ride. The only one going for a longer time would be Saltgrass, and Saltgrass is celebrating, get this, 75 years. So that takes it all the way back to the 50s. It's definitely something that if you've been in Houston for any length of time, you know that it is steeped in tradition. It's such a unique deal. 12 trail rides in all, guys, will be making their way in. You know, you've got Saltgrass, you've got Southwestern, you've got Prairie View, you know, you've got a lot of other trail rides that have been doing it for a very long time. But got to talk to a lot of the riders today. One of the oldest riders in his 70s, loves doing it, been doing it for decades, and got a couple of the younger riders. One gentleman we talked to, Cole, was making his third trail ride. I didn't ask him, but I'm going to put him right about, I don't know, 11, maybe 12 years old, and he was out there with his horse and just you know, raring to go. And something that's made this trail ride interesting, or not interesting, but exciting for these guys this year is the weather. Obviously, Allison's been telling you all morning long we're going to have those chilly mornings, but man, when you get into the late morning and afternoon, it is just going to be beautiful. It's going to be perfect, and that means that's really good news for the trail riders. I was talking to Jason Kieseling, who's the president of Southwestern Trail Ride, current president, and he said he has seen trail rides where the covered wagons actually had ice on them. You know, there were just icicles hanging off of the wagon. So those guys they've ridden through, you know, unseasonably hot days in February. They've had rain. They've had tornado warnings. They've had ice. So, yeah, it's, you know, some years it's definitely not for the faint of heart. You know, you've got to really want to be out there. But again, it seems to me, a non-trail rider, that you know, once it's in your blood, you just don't know anything else. You just got to do it, you know. And a lot of these people are just, you know, so into it, and so into the community, so into just the camaraderie, the family, the tradition. And that's what really makes it, you know, a unique and beautiful thing to Houston. So if you're new to town and you've just moved to Houston, you're watching the Fox 26 Morning Show, do not be alarmed. Sometime this week when you're on 610 or I-10 and all of a sudden you see a bunch of horses and wagons coming down the feeder street there, you know, we always tell folks, you know, take your time, be patient. I know that's not the strong suit for Houston drivers, but, you know, give them, you know, don't honk your horns right when you get up close to them. You know, I'm scared, could spook the horses. Yeah, just give them room to pass, and, you know, just kind of wave at them and take a picture, you know, enjoy it. Because, again, such an incredible tradition that we have here in Houston. You don't get this at other rodeos in other cities. Not like the way we do it. That's for sure. You know, you have one trail ride that comes in from Mexico. You have one trail ride. It takes them 3 weeks. You've got a trail ride that comes in from Louisiana. So, you know, lots of different parts. Talked to a couple this morning while we were out there at the trail ride, and a husband and wife, and they're from Wichita Falls, and they come in, this is their fifth year riding, I believe, and the wife was telling me that they called the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo, called the trail ride committee and said, hey, we've got horses, we're up here in Wichita Falls, but we want to join a trail ride. So they hooked them up with the folks at Sam Houston Trail Ride, and they've been riding for the past 5 or 6 years. They weren't going to ride this year, but they got a look at the forecast, and they said, man, That's just going to be beautiful trail ride weather. Let's do it. So they called the president and the trail boss and said, we're coming down. So they met up 2 days ago, got everything ready, rode yesterday, riding today. And 70 miles, man, that's a, they're going to ride for 6 hours today. So that's quite a bit of road, or quite a bit of trail. And they do get a day off, which I didn't know this, but they will take a day off Wednesday, which is good because it lets the horses and the mules kind of rest up, lets the riders rest up, kind of recharge your batteries. And then, you know, Thursday and Friday, you make that final push into Memorial Park. And then they ride in the parade, the rodeo parade on Saturday. So if you've never been down there, you know, the Memorial Park's a great place to see the horses and talk to the trail riders and take some pictures and just kind of get in on that fun. You know, and then Saturday, of course, you know, downtown, you get the rodeo parade, and then cook-off. You know, so we'll be out there, guys, Thursday and Friday morning. Keep it tuned because cook-off is a thing. It's going to be smoky, and it's going to be delicious. All right, guys, that does it for me. Back to you guys.
I love that somebody in my hometown, well, at least near my hometown of Wichita Falls, came all the way in. That's a long drive. It takes about 6-7 hours, so I'm impressed that they're able to come. Hey, Ruben, I wanted to ask you, I've actually gotten to ride with the group you were with this morning. It's the only one I've ever gotten to be with, maybe 3 or 4 years. And so I only know about their traditions, and I loved it because they do a lot of the same things year after year. But I think you've been with quite a few of the different groups, right? Do you ever feel a difference between them, or does it all sort of just feel like this same type of camaraderie, the same goal to get to H-Town and just make it a special week?
They all have their particular traditions, and because I've been with Saltgrass, we were with Southwestern last year. One year we did do the trail ride, the trail riders from Louisiana, and their wagons were actually painted like really colorful and didn't look like the usual trail ride wagon. So they definitely brought a little bit of that Louisiana Cajun flavor to theirs. But yeah, they're all different. You know, obviously you've got horses, you've got wagons, but it's the people that make it, you know, that give it that special, you know, uniqueness. And such, and again, it's such a unique thing to the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo. When they started riding back in the 50s, it was called the Houston Fat Stock Show. So just, you know, and it wasn't this massive month-long thing that it is now. So the trail rides have grown, their traditions have grown and evolved just like the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo has.
And you know what's so neat is how the local school districts too really support it. They'll allow the kids to be out of school all week as long as they're doing their homework in the back of that wagon. I mean, it's amazing how life goes on and people take off vacation from their jobs to do this. I mean, they are all in. All right, Ruben. Well, it's so nice to see you out there this morning. And you guys be safe heading back into the station. We'll see you soon. All right, right now, let's get you on over to meteorologist John Dawson. Check in on what's going on here locally, as well as that crazy nor'easter. It is so much snow up there in the Northeast, John.
The Northeast is just getting so hammered right now. The term I've been hearing over and over is the generational storm is what that one is. And the numbers are still, it's hard to keep up with the numbers, as a matter of fact, as far as the amount of snowfall, the power outages, and of course, you don't even want to touch the whole transportation issues that are also sort of being handled by all that. But I just want to touch on it briefly here just to sort of show, again, this is the part of the country that we're talking about. This blizzard warning is when you not just have snowfall that you're concerned with, but those high winds, 60 to 75 mile an hour wind gusts. Those are powerful winds creating a lot of problems. Even right on the coast, they're dealing with some storm surge issues with a 2 to 4 foot storm surge. So many problems for this part of our country. And again, Boston, New York, Philadelphia, all within that area. We're going to spend a lot more time later on here on HTX talking about what's happening in the Northeast, but we're going to focus right now on locally. Here in Southeast Texas, it's a cool morning, currently 51 degrees in Cleveland. Sugarland looking at 54 degrees right now. Downtown Houston area, about 53 degrees. We're not looking for any rain for several days. We're going to have just some beautiful weather overall. We're going to continue to see these skies nice and clear. We're going to look for the temperatures to be again in the lower 50s. We're looking at these dew points at about 17. That's very, very dry air is what we're expecting at this point. And again, here is the current temperatures that we've got across the area with a clean radar. Our weather where you live today, we're looking at Manville, going to make it up to close to 60 degrees by noon. And then we get into about 4 o'clock back into the lower 60s. So we're continuing to deal with these lower 60s as far as the high temperatures are concerned. Let's zip over to Rosenberg, sort of the same scenario, maybe making it up just a little bit warmer to 63 degrees. Lots and lots of sunshine. And the Kingwood area, more of the same temperatures. They're a little cooler, so they're going to take a little bit longer to get up to those warmer temperatures, but that's kind of what we're looking at right now overall. And for the travel forecast, again, our part of the country just doing fantastic. We're going to get over to our low temperatures this evening, very similar to what we saw this morning, but I think overall maybe a few less 30s. We'll see a little bit of those rural areas that are back in the 30s. It's something that we're going to be dealing with. And when we look at the 7-day forecast here in a minute, I think you're going to be pleased overall. But when you look past that, when you get even further and you're looking at that first week of March, it's kind of more of the same how we end the week this week. Right now, again, we're cooler than normal. But when we look at that extended forecast, we're much warmer than normal. And it looks like we'll be maybe getting to talk a little bit about a little bit more rain overall, slightly more rain than what we'd kind of expect for this time of the year. So kind of wrapping things up here for now, talking about our 7-day forecast. We've got another chilly morning tomorrow. We will be able to get back into the 70s tomorrow. Again, we're 60s today. And then here are those 80s on Wednesday already. I know a lot of you like the 80s. Some folks prefer a little more February-like weather. We get that for a short term, and then we're back into the 80s. And again, very pleasant weather as we're doing the trail rides, as we're getting ready for barbecue.
Welcome back. One of our favorite segments is really shining a spotlight on local students who are really working hard on their academics. They are sports stars. They're loved by their students and truly an inspiration to hopefully, you know, inspire younger people to want to try to achieve this goal. So we're going to check in right now with Nate Griffin, a.k.a. Nate the Great. He's in Alief ISD this morning with Make the Grade and some special guests. Good morning to you all.
Good morning, Sunshine. I tell you, Melissa, you know the thing about making the grades is that we always get a chance to meet someone new, and they always tell us something new, and we always learn something new. And Juliana Arredondo is an example of that. She's a fine student, 4.0 GPA, and we're with her coach and her principal, Principal Bailey, and her coach,
Stephanie Veal.
Stephanie Veal, and Stephanie, I got to ask you, you have such a pleasant personality.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, you do. And I want to ask you about your student. Tell us about her.
Our students here at ELSIC are great, and they come here to learn and grow. And as athletes, we bring them from the beginning up to the top. They don't all come with those sports assets like maybe some other areas of the city, but we bring them and we get them there.
Most important thing is for them to get involved.
Yes.
And once they get involved and participate, I think they'll find an edge.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, let's talk with the principal, Principal Bailey. You've been here since about 5 a.m.
Yeah, it's been pretty early.
Starting to feel it?
A little bit.
So now you have an idea of how we feel when we leave the morning show. So tell us about, how long have you been here?
This is 2 years now.
How you like it?
Oh, I love it. I love it.
So there's a story in this, okay? We're going to tell a story. This is where we kick back and relax. So, yeah, have you heard this story, Ms. Phil?
I'm not sure.
Okay. We're about to find out. So tell us where you're from.
I'm from Brunswick, Georgia.
Okay.
But
where'd you go to high school?
Glen Academy in Brunswick, Georgia.
Okay. And where'd you go to college?
Tuskegee University in Alabama.
In Alabama, right? Okay. And so you met someone very beautiful. You ended up buying a big ring, a big diamond, a big diamond. Okay. And so she's from where?
Right here in Houston, Texas.
And what high school?
ELSIC High School.
How did that happen?
Isn't that
how did that happen?
Yeah, I don't know. This is the first place I came when she brought me to Houston, right here to ELSIC.
So you're from Georgia. You went to school at Tuskegee. Where'd your wife go to school?
She went to Tuskegee as well.
And she went to high school right here at ELSIC?
Right here at ELSIC High School.
How does this happen? This is called life. How does this happen?
I don't know. I got lucky, you know, and Houston is a great city, but I've always had an affinity for A-Leaf. And my wife has always said great things about it. She loves being here from A-Leaf. And so I felt the love from A-Leaf and ELSIC even before I stepped foot in the city of Houston.
Oh, wow. That's a heck of a story. And, you know, all the principals who came before you know them all. They were great, and you're turning out already to be great. So, yeah. So you have a lot of great students here. We found that out this morning. We saw that this morning. It was so much fun being here. Talk about those students and the culture here.
ELSIC and A-Leaf is just such a unique place. You know, we have nearly 4,000 students here, so one of the largest high schools in the Houston area in the state of Texas. Our students here speak over, their families speak over 40 different languages at home. Mm. And so when you talk about a true, I won't say melting pot, I'll say more of a Caesar salad, because there's so many different cultures that all are here at ELSIC High School. And I would say ELSIC High School, more than any other school in the city, is representative of the city of Houston, just because people come from all over the world and call Houston home, and we can say that about our school here at ELSIC.
Couldn't have said it better. And by the way, I do like Caesar salads, a lot of them.
So I
want to ask you, speaking of international, did you happen to watch the hockey game?
I did not. I was listening to the highlights through one of my adult soccer players who had her earpiece in while we were playing yesterday.
You guys were playing yesterday? What time?
Yes. Yesterday, about late morning when the game was on.
So you guys were playing at that time?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's called dedication.
Yeah.
So I
we
was actually
keeping up with the score. It was awesome.
Where did you watch the hockey game?
I did not. I was with my children, and we were doing some bike riding. But I kept up with the score. Very proud of our hockey team.
Yeah. Well, you know, kids, family, that does come first. I got to tell you, I was up watching the game. It was amazing. And when they scored the goal in overtime to win it, that was pretty cool. It really was. To watch the U.S. hockey team win goals since 1980. Do you believe it? I'm not Al Michaels. Al Michaels, with the signature call of the game and of the time, the whole world heard it. Do you believe in miracles? And that was such a moment to I kind of relived that moment just for a hot second, but it wasn't the same team. It was completely different. And this team certainly deserves their own kudos for what they did. Also, the women won. How about that? What do you think?
Awesome. We're just as good.
I wasn't going there. I was saying the fact that they won the same time with the men, same year. How about that?
Right. Yes, it's amazing.
That's pretty impressive. Did you happen to know that?
I did have an opportunity to see the women's game, and it was very entertaining. That one went into overtime. I think the men went in as well. So just, I'm a big sports fan, so just glad to see the USA bring it home.
Yeah, they won by a score 2-1 also. Women did. Want to ask you, are you a Texans fan?
Very much so. Very much so a Texans fan. I've adopted them. Being back in Georgia, I was a Jaguars fan growing up, so I stayed in the division. So I still like the Jaguars, but I'm a Texans fan for sure.
Let me see if I can get a little bit more out of this guy. So your favorite college football team is?
UGA, Georgia.
I knew it was the Bulldogs. I knew it had to be. He's from Georgia. It only makes sense. Your favorite college football team?
UGA also. My dad went to Georgia.
What?
I'm from Georgia.
There's just too many connections over here. Everybody knows everybody. Everybody's from the same place. So, I won't get into that. Because our person who actually works in the communications department, mm-hmm. I'll just put it that way. The person who works in the communications department, her boyfriend graduated from here. Mm-hmm. I'm just done. And she's from India. just saying. Mm-hmm. So, what did you think of the Texans this past season? Don't get in trouble.
I am very proud of their effort. We had some opportunities, and I look forward to moving forward, us making a run back to the Super Bowl, or to the Super Bowl, not back.
Okay, and you're a football guy, right?
I am. Played through college.
What position?
I was a safety. I don't really have any highlights or anything because it wasn't very memorable. But safety all the way through college.
I liked you until you said safety.
Well, that means you just got hit a few.
That's right. That's exactly right. Okay, you guys knocked me out. Okay, so tell me, what'd you think about the Texans?
I was impressed as well, and I'm most impressed by the coach. He's on my favorites list.
DeMeco Ryans.
Do it. Yes.
He's a class guy.
Yes. Yeah. He's amazing to watch, and you see his joy and his leadership on the sideline.
Tell us about what sports has done for the kids here.
Sports keeps them engaged, and it keeps them thinking positively. They get so excited and proud of themselves when they accomplish something, whether it's small accomplishments during practice or a game or an actual win. It's all of it.
Did you learn anything about them during Making the Grade?
During the session this morning? Mm-hmm. Yes, I did. That they represent ELSIC in a great way, and we're proud to have all of them, all of the athletes that were here this morning, we're proud to have them at our school.
Did you learn something about them?
That they truly, truly love being here. You know, I know they appreciate being a part of their various teams and things of that nature, but being a student here at ELSIC High School meant something to them. Seeing them hold up our, you know, our Ram sign was a big deal because it shows love for the campus and love for where they come from.
You know what I learned about a lot of, you ready? Okay, I'm going to say this and get out of here. What I learned about a lot of what I saw this morning, and I don't like referring to student athletes as kids, but they are kids, to be honest with you. I learned that they love each other. They really do. And I think the other thing is that they love having fun. And if you put a mic in their face, they'll talk. But sometimes you have to encourage them to talk. And watching them talk and become a part of that and grow while they're doing it, that's huge for me. I like that. I'm going to send it back to you because I think my time is up. Back to you.
All right, Nate, such a great conversation there. Thanks for being there as always, and we'll see you back here soon. I tell you what, we are coming off an historic Winter Olympics medal run. So much to be proud for, especially when it comes to free skiing and speed skating. But you know what? There's no match for a lesser sport. Have you ever heard of kitchen pairs ice dancing? Check out this couple from Canada.
With the technique. Here we go. They need to nail this if they want to get the gold.
Yes. Oh, clean. Okay. That's gonna score high. They look happy about that. They should be.
Their choreography is so interesting, and they actually do it all themselves.
They're so fun. I love this couple so much. This is Brianne and Jordan Ilari perfecting their routine, and I think they have it down pat. How brave is that? And they're going to have a strong end here, too. I feel like we can't go on until we see it. They are so awesome. Oh, my goodness. The things people come up with, right? And there they go. All right, on a little bit more serious note now, President Trump is increasing global tariffs to 15% after the Supreme Court ruled he couldn't impose tariffs using the International Emergency Economic Powers Act. Well, he's now using a 1974 trade law that has never been used like this before. Lena DeFloria spoke with Professor Dietrich von Biedenfeld with the University of Houston downtown to break it all down to help us understand what this means.
All right, so we brought to you the breaking news when it happened on Friday. Supreme Court ruling against the majority of President Trump's tariffs. Not the tariffs themselves, but how he put them into place by using something called IEEPA, which is the International Emergency Economic Powers Act. So now he's bumping up those tariffs from 10% to 15% by using a different venue, which is a 1974 trade law that's never been used in this way. So we have Professor Dietrich von Biedenfeld to walk us through what to expect over the next 150 days and what could possibly happen after that.
Absolutely. And of course, Congress has generally deferred to the president throughout his second term. And this way, we don't necessarily see Congress abrogating or annulling this extension through the 150 days. That is, if Congress does not act to impose a restriction, they may allow the president to continue this on even without their express authorization that they should have to give at 150 days. So it's a little bit of, again, the term of this administration is unprecedented, right? So we have a lot to look at as far as what he's doing. But we know that he's got 150 days that he can do this. He said 10, they moved it to 15% globally. It has to be uniformly imposed because of the restrictions on that trade act. Okay. He has other venues and vehicles as well that he can use, 232. He can use that if he determines that something is a national security threat. company, of course, it can use 301 if it wants to demonstrate reciprocal tariffs to, for example, if China says they're going to do something, we could prevent unfair trade. And the president still has these authorities outside of that 1977 law that was initially designed to essentially restrict some of the president's use of this tariff authority universally or blanketly.
Okay, so you have some other days up here, which means I guess there's more of a process to expect.
Right. One of the challenges we saw with PPP, we go back to COVID, and a lot of those lessons was smaller businesses not getting in line for priority. So we always want to remember that there are legal processes. And while the district court, because of course it went from SCOTUS back to the courts to determine how this reimbursement might work, and if the courts ask, they may force you to sue. So if the president doesn't create some tool or mechanism within his administration, like you do with tax refunds, some pre-existing vehicle that we can send out checks or VA administration, then the courts would ask you to sue. And so you got to remember that your tariffs only have a 314-day open period before they liquidate. And so once that happens with the Customs and Border Protection and all of our customs agents, then you only have 180 days to protest that. So smaller businesses don't have legal teams and things like that, so they should be cognizant of this 180-day possible legal restriction on their filing. If they don't contest the assessment, now that this ruling is in, especially within 180 days, they could be waiving their claims.
And, you know, there are a lot of people at home who are heard, oh, well, am I going to get a refund on money that I spent on tariffs? That's nowhere in any of these plans. We've not heard any announcement about, you know, possibly getting a check.
Right, but it becomes more and more unlikely when you think about the complexity of this process because of how it was implemented. We know that this was more of an end, not focusing on the journey or the destination or the process. Mm-hmm. And so now we're trying to build a process when we just got a cake, right? What ingredients are in this? How did you cook it? I don't know, cake.
Right.
So at this point, since we're trying to sort of reverse engineer, we've got to think about the order and priority, the amounts and the timelines, and individuals are likely not going to get it. And another challenge is many times importers, like you or me, might pay an intermediary. So we might have an import fee that we're paying to another business that actually paid the tariff. So when the tariff refund comes, that business would get the tariff refund, and then we would need to either negotiate outside of the contract a remittance of some of that fee.
So I'm not getting any money.
No.
Okay. don't bet on it, right? Okay.
Right.
Thank you, Professor. It's always good to talk to you. We always love a good board.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
I love how he makes everything so much easier to understand that way. Okay, we have some breaking news to bring you right now. I want to make sure you know at least what's going on. If you happen to drive by here, we're still trying to figure out what's happening. There's some type of investigation underway at River Oaks Academy. Now, I want to let you know that it's River Oaks. You might be picturing it in the River Oaks District over off of Westheimer within the Loop. But this is actually in the 10,000 block of Richmond, which would be fairly close to Beltway 8, so way outside. So again, really close to Richmond and Beltway 8 at River Oaks Academy. We see some officers here. We don't know what's happening or why they are there. Looks like I don't see anybody, you know, anything looking like it's completely dramatic or like they're in a super big hurry for whatever's happening here. But just wanted to make sure you know that this is going on. As soon as we find out more information, we'll let you know. I don't know if we can zoom out a little bit and see if there are any more officers than just this one. I'd like to see what else there we go. I'd just like to see what else the scene looks like. If there are other officers or what's happening. Hard to tell if those are unmarked cars there or if there's just one. Looks like another vehicle pulling up. But again, it looks like a fairly calm scene here at River Oaks Academy. But nevertheless, anytime anything happens like this, we just want to make sure that we find out what's going on. We do understand that there is some type of investigation underway. And as soon as we find out, you will be the first to know. Right now, we're going to take a quick break and we will keep digging on this and see you in just a moment. Welcome back, everybody. If you were up early like me, you know that in a lot of places in our area, it was in the 30s this morning. And I just took a look. It looks like we've gone on up 20 degrees in some area. I like that a lot. I hope it keeps on going up. Let's check in now with our meteorologist, John Dawson. And that sounds like nothing compared to other parts of the country. That sounds like a walk in the park, even at 30.
I know. And this is one of those storms that was kind of being watched a little bit, but then like it really got its act together within the, 48 hours before, so let's just say Friday, mm-hmm. and then it was just like, everybody get ready because it's coming at the end of the weekend, and it has delivered. It has definitely delivered for sure. So we got a live camera from Ocean City, New Jersey, I believe is where this camera is located. And so, yeah, they are piling it up. Melissa, I've tried to keep up with and be able to come to you and say, hey, this is how many inches have fallen. I can't keep up.
No, because it keeps going up so quickly.
It's so fast. Like, I was looking at it, it was like 15 inches in Central Park in New York City, and then nope, it's 22 inches. You know, I can't even keep up with the numbers. Just note that there are feet of snow falling across a good chunk of that part of the country.
And this is a part of the country that's used to handling a lot of snow, but is this really starting to shut them down because it's so unprecedented? So they're feeling more like we do with an inch, right?
Yeah, totally. This is a whole lot of snow that they're dealing with. And this is a blizzard, so there's a wind component as well that's quite dangerous. It's a little bit interesting, Melissa. I have my brother-in-law is a former Air Force colonel. He's retired. And he sent me some text messages this morning. Again, he's in the Air Force, so he thinks about air travel and air traffic and things like that. So I want to show some images here that my brother-in-law sent me this morning. If we can see those graphics. This is, first of all, look at New York City. This is FlightAware, okay? So this shows you all the air traffic.
Right.
Do you see there's basically three little airplanes?
Oh my goodness.
And all of it. So that's what New York City looked like this morning. And he had then informed me that those three airplanes are actually sitting on the ground at the gates. They accidentally left their GPS turned on. And so but look at Houston. Look at all the traffic.
That's a big difference.
This is just normal air traffic, right?
Yeah.
And so we've got all of this stuff happening in the air. And again, that first graphic showed there are no planes flying anywhere near these air traffic controlled areas along that part of our country because of this, because of these types of, you can see this type of a nor'easter, this type of a storm. These are from satellites, of course, now that we're looking at. Also, brother-in-law David provided for us. And you can kind of see that bigger picture looking at how it is just blanketing the Northeast. And so that's one of my big concerns, Melissa, is that this impact on traveling, right? Mm-hmm. Like we just show that, New York City, they have multiple airports. Mm-hmm. And then we have Philadelphia and Boston, some other really major systems. They're just, nothing's happening.
And you can't help but wonder, even in cities like that are so prepared for a lot of snow, how do you dig out at 2 feet? I mean, where does it go until it warms up, right? Like, this is going to be a process.
Right, no, it is if you've ever dealt with snow, and I don't have a lot of experience with snow, it's kind of like, well, where do you put it? That's one of the problems that they're always dealing with. My other major concern, so the transportation side of things was my first thing I was thinking about, these airports being shut down. And that could even have, international impacts and not just national impacts. But the other biggest problem is going to be the power loss. Because this blizzard, it's not just snowfall, it's these high winds. That's another number I haven't been able to really keep an eye on as far as the power outages. But there are going to be a continued power outage problems with the fact that there's snow and the wind, and then that becomes life threatening, just like here in Texas when we have heat problems. The cold can cause a lot of problems with loss of power and that sort of thing. So there's a lot going on in the Northeast right now. And sometimes I think, New York City gets a little more attention than it needs weather-wise, I'll be honest. But in this case, it's all you. You get all the attention. and it's all deserved because this is a major, major, as the term that I've heard tossed around so often, generational type storm.
Goodness.
It'll easily make probably the top 10 as far as snowfall events for several of these cities that it's involved with. So very, very still unfolding happening there.
Our producer was asking if this is considered one of those bomb cyclones.
I believe it is. I I didn't look at the numbers myself, but I've certainly have seen Fox Weather using that term, and it is, the bombogenesis is taking place or has taken place with that system. And that's certainly kind of that fun term to kind of use a little bit with it.
Obviously, with a storm like this, there's a lot to keep up with, as you were talking about. You can't, it's hard to even figure out how much snow that they're getting. But looking ahead, have you had a chance just to see when it might start warming up, when this might start melting off of them? Is it going to be cold and the freezing temperatures all week, or what is it looking like?
Yeah, I honestly haven't looked at the temperatures.
I figured you've been so busy, like, taking care of the drama right, now.
Right, just kind of looking at the snowfall. I will say that for most of that area, the blizzard warnings expire this evening.
Oh, well, that's good.
A little to the far, far northeast, because this is tracking to the northeast. Mm-hmm. To the far, far northeast, those will be extended into tomorrow, the blizzard warnings. But this is going to really, as far as what's falling from the sky right now, mm-hmm. things are going to become much quieter very quickly as far as that goes. Here's one of my favorite cameras, though. This is the classic Times Square camera that you're used to seeing. And again, with the Times Square camera, there's usually lots of people and mm-hmm. traffic and cars and all the lights and everything. You can still see quite a few of the lights, but so white right now in the heart of New York City there with Times Square just sort of a winter wonderland, exactly what it is. And I think there was enough warning that I'm hopeful that most people, you know, because this happens at Houston when mm-hmm. we have a snow day, not very often, but the city shuts down and people can kind of relax a little and just, you know, stay where you are. Yeah. And, you know, it's not as much of a concern. A couple more graphics real quick I do want to show you. This is the estimated snowfalls. And again, these numbers are not, this is radar estimated. These numbers are not accurate. I know that they're higher than these numbers for sure. It's, again,
because it's changing so quickly, it's hard to keep up
with. It's changing so fast. Mm-hmm. And again, the last number I heard for, you know, like Central Park was 22 inches of snowfall. And so here are those blizzard warnings that I was talking about, kind of moving up along the East Coast there, that oranger area, you know, they should expire this evening, and then further north of Boston, then those would be into tomorrow. And the other, you know, winter storm warnings are for the snowfall, and then some advisories. So there's a lot kind of sort of thrown in there quite a bit for sure. But and then let me just end, Melissa, with our 7 day. Look at the
dramatic
difference.
I feel guilty. Spring and I'm gonna treasure it. There's no doubt about that.
Well, even today's high temperature is cooler than usual by 4 degrees. It's not mm-hmm. obviously a blizzard or anything mm-hmm. like that, but we are, you know, normally a little bit milder than this for this last week here in February. Tomorrow's the day, by the way. Melissa, mm-hmm. if you accidentally can't come to work or you've got a sick day or something, it's really tomorrow
is going to be the perfect day. 72 and sunny. We're talking about Cali temperatures there.
That tomorrow is the day in the 70s.
Oh,
so
goodness.
If you're like trying to figure out when to not show up at work, I think that would be my advice. And then we're back to the 80s by the end of the week.
Oh, I love it. We are so lucky right now. It looks so nice. So I feel like you think winter might be over for us, or still too soon to say?
I'm planting my garden this weekend.
You are?
I am moving forward. I'm moving on.
Is that a figure?
We'll see what happens.
Is that a figure of speech, or that's really happening?
Within the next week, I should be planting some stuff in my garden.
That sounds very promising. Yeah. Hey, have a beautiful day, everybody. Forecasting with Friends is next. We have so much more to talk about. We'll see you soon. Have a great day.